In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the fourth week of the month of Hatur, and the Church reads for us the passage of the rich man who came to the Lord and asked him how he can inherit eternal life. In the Lord's response, he told him initially that you know the commandments, and he mentioned some of the Ten Commandments. It says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, and honor your father and your mother. And the man responded and said to him, I have done these things from my youth. And immediately his response to his obedience to these commandments was that the Lord loved him. That the Lord loved him. And among all of those commandments, the Lord chose of the Ten Commandments the ones that have to deal with our brethren. And he concluded and culminated by the one that said, honor your father and your mother. And this elicited the love of Christ to this man. Last week we began speaking about rendering honor to those, rendering all their due honor. And we began speaking and we said, to whom then should we honor? Who is due our honor? And we mentioned many of those individuals who we should honor. We said we should honor God, of course, first and foremost. We honor our parents, like the commandment said. We honor the elderly. We honor the authorities and the leaders. We honor our superiors, whether it's in work, in school, or wherever it is. We honor widows or those who are vulnerable. We ought to honor our spouses. And lastly, we honor everyone. I'd like to speak a little bit today about why we should honor all these, what is the value of honoring them, and what are some of the consequences when we fail to honor these individuals, or in all people for that matter. The first question is, why is it we should honor all these individuals? Why should we render all their due honor? Number one, when we honor everyone, we reflect God's love and His order. God's nature is to love, and He demonstrated His love for us by creating us in His image and His likeness. He created all things, and then He created us in His image and His likeness. So out of all the things of His created, this created world, He chose us to be the special one, to have the stamp of His image and His likeness. And then, of course, when we fell, He honored us by taking our nature. He didn't take the nature of any other creature, but He took our nature, because He looked at us and said, these are my honorable creation that I've created, and they are due even my honor for them. So God, the one who created the universe, and who all the angels and the heavenly hosts, and we ourselves, we all bow down and worship, He Himself gives honor to us. So if He honors us, should we not then honor one another? Certainly. He also honored us, when we honor others, it reflects not only His love, but also His order for all creation. You know, when we read through Scripture, we'll find that God commands us to honor different individuals and different people. So there's an honor, for example, to the father and mother. There's an honor for the king. There's an honor for the priests. There's an honor for the prophet. So there's an honor for certain particular people in society. And again, in doing this, He shows us that these will help maintain order in our relationships and in society as a whole, when we uphold the honor to those whom honor is due. Also, honoring others teaches us humility and gratitude. Again, oftentimes honoring others requires us to be humble, to recognize others' part in our work, or to recognize others' contributions and their value. And this also includes sometimes our humility. And sometimes you'll find to honor others requires our own humiliation, or at least refraining from thinking of ourselves too highly. In order to honor others, sometimes we have to think less of ourselves. Simply acknowledging another person's work by saying thank you right? Where this thing came from you and not from me. Or saying to someone, I couldn't have done this without you. Again, showing that their work was valuable and I honor them for what they shared, not taking the credit for myself. It also teaches us to be grateful. When we honor others, we show them that we are grateful for what they have done. When we honor our classmates, we honor our parents, we show them we are thankful for what they have done. For example, when we honor our parents, it's showing them that we appreciate all that they have done for providing for us, for in every aspect of our life. They provide for us spiritually, they provide for us, you know, physically, they nourish our emotions and all these things, right? So when we honor them, this shows our gratitude for all of their work. At the end of the day, honoring another is a selfless act, which requires humility and gratitude. Honoring all others also helps to strengthen our relationships. Honor builds and strengthens relationships by fostering this mutual respect for one another. When I honor somebody else, the likelihood that they honor me back is higher, right? It's not always the case, of course, and nor should we be contingent. We shouldn't honor others only if they honor us. No, the command is to honor everyone, whether they honor you back or not. If you think about in a family, when spouses honor each other, this builds the foundation of a loving and supportive family. And if not, you'll find there's strife, there's division in the family, there's anxiety and tension in the family, there could be depression, and of course divorce. If we look at the community and in the church, honoring others strengthens our relationship. It builds unity and stability and peace among one another. Look what St. Paul tells us, or tells the Romans. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honoring, giving preference to one another. Imagine a society, imagine a community, imagine a family where everyone is honoring the other, giving preference to them before themselves. You know, what kind of, you know, relationships will this be? This will be a beautiful one, right? Where I'm concerned about giving of myself to the other, and the other is concerned about giving themselves to the other people in the family or in the community. My beloved, this builds peace and unity and stability when we honor one another. Honoring others also not only reflects God's love, but also allows us to share God's love with others. The commandment is to what? Is to love your neighbor as yourself. Part of this love is showing them honor. When we honor others, we show them that they are valued and we extend God's care and love to every individual. The Lord told us in John 13, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we can replace this love by honor. All will know that you are my disciples if you honor one another. Just as the Lord Christ honored everyone he came into contact with. If you remember in the story of the Samaritan woman, she recognized his honor for her. What did she say? He says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? And then St. John, the author, writes, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So she recognized that when he just simply spoke to me, he honored me as, you know, a person of value. Because again, in that time, the men, the Jewish men, didn't speak to Samaritan women. They considered them second class. They considered them as being, you know, defiled and so on. But Christ showed his honor for her. Christ showed his honor for the woman who was caught in adultery. Christ showed his honor for Zacchaeus, for knowing his name and inviting himself to his house. He honored them. Christ honored everyone he met. Honoring others share God's love with the rest of the world. Honoring others is also a source of blessing in our life. If you remember, we spoke last week about the blessing that comes with honoring our parents. So there's a certain blessing. And St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, and he says, when we pray for and we honor the kings and all who are in authority, he says, why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is a blessing. When we honor those in authority, we lead a quiet and peaceable life. These are the blessings that come with honoring those whom we due our honor. Honoring others also is a source of wisdom and guidance. In Job chapter 12, it says, wisdom is with the aged men, and with length of days, understanding. So when we honor somebody who's older, we open the door to gain from their wisdom. And he says in Proverbs, Solomon says in Proverbs, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around about your neck. So he says when we honor our parents and heed their instruction, then their instruction becomes the way that our life is decorated. Foolish is the one who looks at their parents with demise and disgust and being old-fashioned and so on. And wise is the one who looks at their parents as being a source of wisdom. With the aged and with the elderly, there is much wisdom to be gained. St. John Chrysostom says, respect for the aged is the foundation of every virtue. Why do you think it is that any novice who goes into a monastery or a convent is immediately paired with an elder to gain from his wisdom and experience, right? Because with them is the foundation of every virtue. So what are the consequences of dishonor or failing to honor those to whom honor is due? There are those that are on a personal level, and there's also a couple on the communal level. I'll speak first about the personal level. When we fail to honor others, we in turn dishonor God. The Lord Jesus, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, he spoke to them in Mark chapter 7. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So what is the Lord saying here is that when we neglect God's commandments, we fail truly to honor Him. When we fail to abide by His commandments, we dishonor Him. And the Lord told us in John 14, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So when we keep His commandments, we honor Him. And when we break His commandment, it's a dishonor to Him as being the lawgiver. The second consequence on a personal level of not honoring those to whom honor is due is the loss of God's blessing. As we said, when we don't honor our parents, then we don't have the blessing of this honor. When we don't honor our elders, then we deprive ourselves of the wisdom that we can gain from them. And this in turn, my beloved, can result in disrespect and rebellion, and ultimately invites God's judgment. It says in Deuteronomy, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. So he says, cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. Meaning what? If there is a child who curses at their parents, or a child who hits their parents, all of this is a curse in front of God. And God forbid anyone is cursed before God. Because when God pronounces a curse, it's much different than we curse ourselves. Also on a personal level, dishonor hardens the heart, which leads to pride. In the Old Testament, there's a king by the name of Uzziah. His story is recounted in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And it begins by telling us his initial phase, which was the good phase of his life. It says that Uzziah, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So we see his success here because he trusted and his reliance was on God, and he had many military victories as a result. Then later it says he fell into this pride. And what did Uzziah do? It says that when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So what did he do? He dishonored God. The burning of incense was the job of the priest at the time. So when he got puffed up with pride, he said, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to dishonor God by doing what God commanded only the priest to do and not for him to do. Right? So we see here how his dishonor led him to pride, or his pride led to his dishonor. And then what was the consequence of this? It says, Uzziah became furious and he had the censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar, besides the incense altar. And then it says, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. So he remained a leper until the day of his death. So when he dishonored God, then he brought upon him this curse of leprosy. And because of the leprosy, he remained in isolation for the rest of his life. Dishonor also breaks relationships. Again, if we think about the hard relationships in our life, oftentimes when there's a break in the honor between me and that individual, there's strife between them and I. If it's failing to honor our parents, then there's strife between parents and children. If I fail to honor my spouse, there's strife between spouses. If I fail to honor my friends and my colleagues, there's strife between friends. If I fail to honor those in authority, I get myself in trouble with that authority, whether it be the law or, you know, work or school, whatever it is. And this unresolved disrespect and dishonor will foster this bitterness and resentment, which harms one emotionally and spiritually, you know, as long as they continue to dishonor. So it breaks relationships. It's in our best interest, my beloved, to honor everyone, because we benefit. We benefit. What are some of the communal consequences? I'll just mention two of them. One of them is when I dishonor, when I show dishonor in the family, it erodes the family unit. As we know, the family is the cornerstone of society. We have this, every family, and many families make up the church, and many families make up the community, and make up a society as a whole. So when there's a breaking in honor within the family, this will only translate to breaking of stability and erosion of all of society as a whole. And we see this. We see this throughout, you know, those of us maybe who are, you know, a little bit older in their 40s and 50s and up, you'll see the erosion within the family and its effect in society that we see today. We see the honor of, again, parents, you know, go down. The rate of divorce has skyrocketed, right? The violence and type of violent crimes, again, skyrocketed. All of this because the stability within the family has been eroded, and the honor between them has eroded this stability. If you look at the family of Eli in the Old Testament, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they dishonored God and dishonored their father. They were priests, of course, being the son of a priest, and they did many acts in the priesthood that weren't fitting not only for priests, but for anyone to do. They defiled the sanctuary. They took portions of the sacrifices that weren't theirs. They took advantage of people and their offering and so on. Then Eli, the priest, failed to rebuke his children. And his children didn't really honor him. And whether it's his inability to discipline or their lack of respect and honor for him, but the result was the same. He came to his children and he rebuked them. He says, why do you do such things? Why do you profane the house of God? And why do you do things that aren't fitting for a priest? And he says, for I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? So he tells his children this. Of course, they kind of look at him with disdain and they disregard him. What was the consequence of this family? What was the consequence of the dishonor in this family? Of course, we know the end result of all of them. So Phinehas and Hophni's two sons died in battle. And then when the messenger came to tell Eli the priest that his children died, he fell back on his chair and he himself died. And then as a result of this battle with the Philistines, the Ark of the Covenant was taken by or captured by the Philistines. And this, of course, was a devastating loss to all of the people of Israel. And his daughter-in-law died in childbirth and so on. So we see the repercussion of this dishonor trickled not only to within his family, but also all of the society as a whole. Also, we have the breakdown of society, as I mentioned earlier, when, again, when there's disrespect among authority, then this authority begins with the parents, and then it trickles down to the policemen, the authorities, the teachers, the governors, the presidents, and everything. There's no authority that one can respect if they don't respect their family. And again, this leads to lawlessness and rebellion and chaos. And look what St. Paul tells us in Romans. He says, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So we see here very clearly that when we resist the authority, we resist the ordinance of God. There are many examples, my beloved, that we know in our life and we've seen in Scripture of the result of dishonor, whether it's to God or to any authority, to our parents throughout Scripture. And we see its result. We look at the son of David, Absalom. When he wanted to take over the kingdom, he propped himself at the end of the city and he began to take the role of a judge, which was his father's, you know, duty. So he dishonored his father and he took this upon himself because he wanted to be king. Then one of the counselors said, well, go take your father's concubines too. This is like marrying his wife. So he went in and he took his father's concubines. Again, a sign of dishonor to his father. What was the end result? He died. So there's never really a good ending when there is dishonor. Failing to honor others leads to spiritual decay, broken relationships, and societal disorder. And on a personal level, it isolates ourselves from God, deprives us of the blessings, fosters pride and bitterness, and ultimately allows sin to take root in our heart. And on the communal level, it erodes the family, the stability of the family, and all of society. God willing, next week we'll end and we'll speak about, okay, how is it that I can show honor to these different groups? A more practical approach, how is it that I can show honor? And maybe what are the things that I'm doing that show dishonor? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.